Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprinet News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Should I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprinet News. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, on this program, President Obama denounced the GOP candidate for president, and Nielsen's is highlighting black millennials in a new report called Young, Connected, and Black. And the U.S. rock and roll legend, you know, I keep forgetting to say this story, U.S. rock and roll legend, Chuck Berry has a new record coming out at 90. If you didn't know, Chuck Berry's 90. And the Los Angeles jury rejects a lawsuit accusing NBA star Derrick Rose of accusing him of a crime. So we'll talk about that. We have This Week in Court and more. But if this is your first time here, you're listening to Esprinet News. You can call in and join us on the program, and if you're already on the line, you know, just hit one, come on in, and if not, you know, you can hit us up in chat, and we'll help you out there. So, just want to welcome you on to the show. Now, first story is the California Attorney General's Office has launched a criminal investigation into Wells Fargo over allegations that it opened millions of unauthorized customer accounts and credit cards. That's according to the seizure warrant that was that Reuters have reported. So, Wells Fargo, you're going to have some problems. By the way, they already have some problems. They're already getting sued. Now, cellular company T-Mobile has agreed to a $48 million settlement with the Federal Communications Commission following an inquiry over the carrier's offer of unlimited data plans to customers. This is what regulators said this week. The FCC has been looking into questions whether the offer fully disclosed to the customers that such unlimited plans included speed and data restrictions. So the FCC found that T-Mobile's plans did provide unlimited data use. However, once a customer reached a certain usage threshold every month, the carrier would substantially lower the speed. So there's a $48 million settlement that included $7.5 million fine to the FCC, $35 million in reparations. You know, you very rarely hear that in settlement, but they said it was reparations to T-Mobile customers and at least $5 million of service and equipment to American schools to bridge the homework gap facing today's students. Now, that seems kind of odd, but anyway, T-Mobile settled out of court to give $5 million to schools for some reason, but it worked. There you have it. Kodak. Okay, if you don't know, if your kids are a little young, you don't know who Kodak is. Kodak, the film photography camera people. Kodak is back. Now, the classic photography firm unveiled the, I guess it's Itra smartphone. It's based on a camera that it first launched in 1941. Now, the new phone has been designed by the Reading-based, this is Reading, Pennsylvania-based technology business, Bullitt, which also is behind the Caterpillar's rugged mobile phones. So if you've never ever seen a Caterpillar phone, they are just really rugged. You can take them out in the forest, you can run them over, but they're really, really rugged phones, and they're actually pretty good phones. But now Kodak is back with their own smartphone. It is currently available only in Europe at the moment, but I'm sure it'll be back in the States. But Kodak is back. I'm going to get me a Kodak phone. I just want to tell you that for the record. Call me, and I'll see if I can get a Kodak phone, and I'll let you know how it is. I'll review it and put it out there. The insurance company MetLife, Metropolitan Life, they are dropping Snoopy as the face of their company after 31 years, or 217 dog years is what they're saying. Now, the New York-based insurance company announced this today that Snoopy will no longer be their mascot. And you know, I just want to say this to Kai, because, you know, I know she put it on her social media. She watched The Great Pumpkin the other day, and I am still amazed at the number of people who are watching Peanuts characters in are captivated by it and won't watch anything else. But right as The Great Pumpkin comes on TV, the next day they announce that Snoopy's gone from MetLife. So hopefully there's not going to be any backlash and people won't change their policies because of that. Just thought I'd put that out. And just want to say hey to Kai. In case you're listening, I did see your post watching The Great Pumpkin. And I still have never seen it. Just wanted to say that for the record. Now, President Obama denounced Donald Trump's latest efforts to cast doubt on the integrity of the presidential election as undermining the nation's democracy in a speech that he ridiculed Donald Trump for his repeated claims that the election would be rigged, telling his possible successor to stop whining and go win some votes. He said that if you start whining before the game is even over, if whatever things are going badly for you, if you lose, you start blaming someone else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job, is what the president said. He said, because there are a lot of times when things are not going to go your way, is what the president added. So Donald Trump, stop whining, is the bottom line of that message. Now, Vice President Biden also jumped in on this today. Joe Biden unloaded on Trump for the damage that he's doing to the political fabric of the nation and Americans' reputation abroad. Now, he was incensed by Trump's proclamation that it's rigged, like the election is going to be rigged, and that he might not accept the outcome. Now, the vice president said that he is genuinely a threat to the democratic process. He plays into the hands of our enemies so uniquely. And he said that he's so stupid that he doesn't even understand that it's possible. You know, so he doesn't understand that he's playing to the enemies, is what the vice president said. He said it's possible that he doesn't understand the damage he's doing. That was Vice President Biden. I'm paraphrasing this because I'm still laughing from the Al Smith dinner, but I'll talk about that in a second. First Lady Michelle Obama said today she's also out stomping for Hillary Clinton in Arizona. She denounced Trump as a candidate whose vision for our country is completely and utterly lacking in hope. During the rally in Phoenix, she said, the first lady who has emerged as the most powerful, popular surrogate on the campaign trail is what people are characterizing her as. But I think she and the president and the vice president are the best three that you can pretty much ask to do it. But that's what I say. Now, she lashed out at Donald Trump as a man who threatens the very ideal of America itself. She spoke to a crowd of about 7,000 supporters today after Trump said that in that presidential debate that he would wait and see what the election results were before saying whether he would accept them or not. And the first lady said, "You do not keep American democracy in suspense." So it's not funny that he said he wanted to keep everybody in suspense to what he's going to do. Okay, so if you didn't see today, it probably ended about an hour ago, is the Al Smith dinner. Now, that dinner is a dinner where I guess he was the first Catholic presidential candidate. He got blown out, but all of the negative stuff that happened to him being the first Catholic person to run for office is kind of like they're celebrating and raising money to, I guess they do it for charity. But it's where candidates go, and they make fun of themselves and crack jokes. Donald Trump bombed on this. I mean, if you remember the first one where President Obama lit John McCain on fire and then lit Mitt Romney on fire, well, this time Donald Trump gets up. He said a couple of funny jokes, like the one joke that he said that was actually pretty funny was that the first lady, or she said that Melania is being treated unfair. I'm going to paraphrase it, but she was being treated unfair. The first lady, Michelle Obama, when she gave the speech, everybody raved on how great her speech was, and then when Melania gave the same speech, they criticized her for it. Now, that was a funny joke. Okay, so other than that, he really had a bad night. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, she had a bunch of them, but I'm going to encourage you to YouTube it. I'll put some of it on the board for next show so that we can talk about that further. But since it just happened, it's really new, and I didn't grab the audio, but there at the Al Smith dinner, there you have it. Now, if you want to call in, 909-265-9189, and talk about the debate, we'll talk about it. But since everybody's doing that to death, we don't really do that on EspriNet News. What we're doing is we're talking about stuff you normally don't get on mainstream media. So, but we can do that. I want to say hey to everyone that's on the line. And if you're in the chat room, you know, just send us something. We may put it on, maybe not, but we may get it on here. But you can always check out EspriNet News in the archives at EspriRadio.soulofsyracuse.com if you want to check out some of our shows in the archives. I'm sure, in the words of Lucy Sanchez or Broyu, there's always news you can use. So you can go check that out at EspriRadio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, Nielsen's, the surveying company, I guess the ratings company, highlights Black millennials in the new report called Young, Connected, and Black. African-American millennials are driving social change and leading digital advancement is what they're saying. Now, with $162 billion in buying power and undisputed cultural influence, Black millennials are using their power to successfully raise awareness of issues facing the Black community and influencing decisions that's shaping our world. This is in their sixth annual Nielsen's Diversity Intelligence Series that focuses on Black consumers. Now, it's called The Young, Connected, and Black. It paints a picture of a Black diaspora that is tech-savvy, socially and civically engaged, growing in population. I guess the numbers are 46.3 million, or 14% of the U.S. population, who are millennials, and the buying power of nearly $1.2 trillion in 2015. That's Black folks overall. So just wanted to say that. And, you know, talking about how optimistic they are about the future. So some of the key highlights from this report are, as smartphone owners, African Americans, 91% of millennials, only second to Asian Americans who are 94%, 91% of millennials have smartphones. I don't let that sink in. 91% of African Americans say that they access the internet on their mobile phones, and increased from 86% in 2015, which further cements their status as digital leaders. And 89% of African Americans aged 25 to 34 completed high school, compared to 77% of black Americans age 55 and older. So I guess the numbers are just saying, this is just Nielsen, is saying, you know, we never hear this on TV or anything, but 89% of African Americans from 25, that's people who are out of school, 25 to 34, have completed high school. 89%. Right, let that sink in when you start watching crazy people on debates talk about people of color. Just wanted to share that. All right, in other news, Diet Coke won't stop getting you diabetes, is what this new study is coming up. Now, they said that two glasses of the calorie-free drinks a day doubles your risk. Now, this is scientists from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. They studied 2,874 adults who had completed a year-long diary about what their drink intake was. But so maybe that doesn't apply there, but it did apply in Sweden. Just thought I'd give the numbers. That was specifically Diet Coke that they used. Okay. Now, according to scientists, our tweets provide valuable insights toward our diet and ultimately our health. So here's the thing. In this survey, they found that the number one thing food that people tweet about is coffee. I don't know why that's a food. Coffee, beer, and pizza were the most talked about foods and drinks on social media platform last year on Twitter, is what this study found. Starbucks was next. It featured high, following yet by more alcohol, which they say increases risk of some types of cancer. They're saying this in the study. Now, the next one was India Pale Ale. I guess it's a beer. And the next one was wine. And shockingly, only 1 in 10 of the most popular mentioned products were deemed healthy, and that would be chicken. I didn't know chicken was that healthy, but okay, it's in there. Then it said barbecue, ice cream, and tacos rounded out that list. So researchers from the University of Utah assessed around 80 million geotag tweets between mid-2014 and 2015. Then they sorted through them to find 4 million or 5% which had mentioned food and drink. So that's what they found. But they also found popular activities. Now, I'll do this in reverse order. 10, for as far as popular activities mentioned on Twitter, was bowling, swimming, yoga, hiking, and they said swimming again, pool, I don't know why that's an activity, golf, working out, running, dancing, and the number one activity mentioned on Twitter is walking. Seemed like a waste of 140 characters, but that's, you didn't heard that from me. All right. Just want to remind you, listen to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. Oh, well, actually, and we're on the Ask Kathleen Network. I know Kathleen is there. Hey, Kathleen. You can dial in and join us at 909-265-9189 if you want to join in on the program, or hit one on your line. I just want to say hey to everyone. Hey to my girl and my cousin Adria in Houston. Hey, girl. Just wanted to put that out there. And, you know, everybody else who's listening, I actually see some more folks in Houston, so don't know everybody's number. But just wanted to say hey to everyone out there. And remind you that if you want to come in and join in our program, feel free. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, but, you know, just want to make sure I put that out there. I'll interrupt any news story that you want to come in on. Now, a police chief who represented 23,000 American officers apologized for the way that authorities have mistreated minorities. Now, Terrence Cunningham, the president of the International Association of Police Chiefs, said historical mistreatment of minorities was a dark side of our shared history, which must be overcome. So I guess I'll give him big props for that, but it wasn't a dark side of our shared history. That was your history or what you was doing to minorities. I just wanted to help clear that up for him, in case you're listening. But, hey, I guess I should tip my hat for the gesture. Now, numerous people and businesses with interest in Nina Simone's recordings submitted briefs in the Ninth Circuit Court and a long-running legal battle of who owns the rights to her music. So this is business people, family. People are still trying to get the rights to Nina Simone's music. Interesting enough. Now, interesting, along with Nina Simone, now, I don't know. I'm trying to segue this in the best way I can because I think I just tried to try not to put my foot in my mouth. Okay. I don't know how old Nina Simone was or when she passed. That's why I'm doing this. But 90-year-old Chuck Berry, see, I was going to roll that in, rock and roll legend Chuck Berry has announced his first album in 38 years. It's simply titled Chuck. It will be released in 2017 and will be comprised of primarily of new songs and new original songs, and was recorded in various studios around St. Louis. So he said the record was dedicated to Thermetta or Toddy Berry, his beloved wife, for 68 years. So Chuck Berry, at the age of 90, is coming out with a new, well, now CD, I was going to say new record, but a new album in 38 years. So big outs to Chuck Berry. Just wanted to put that out there. See, I was going to run the Nina Simone in there. I didn't know how that was going to work. All right. University of Louisville basketball team accused of four violations by the NCAA after an investigation into its strippers and its stripper party scandal. Louisville basketball team has been accused for four violations after an investigation into its players' scandalous parties, which the NCAA says that Coach Rick Pitino did not keep a close enough watch on his team, so he was also sanctioned. They didn't say what they were going to do yet, but apparently they're going to face something next year, not for this season, but they found that one of the assistant coaches brought strippers over to the, I don't know, four party. There you have it. That's all I know about that. Now, a small-town mayor who refused or who posted racist memes about the President Obama and the First Lady on his Facebook finally quit after months of protest. Now, West Yorktown Council in Pennsylvania unanimously voted to accept the Republican mayor Charles Wasco's resignation after he caused the uproar with some racist posts on Facebook. Now, I'm not going to tell you what those posts are, but, you know, they were just sick racist posts. That's all I can really tell you about that. But there you have it with him. But he's gone. So good riddance. See ya. All right. Just wanted to say that. Now, let's go to the phone lines and bring in the commiss, because I know I talked you up, Kathleen. So I just wanted to say hey and welcome all to the program. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You sound a little distant.
I thought I had hit one long time ago, and then when you said, if you want to come in, hit one, I was like, I didn't hit one yet. And
no,
so
you sure didn't.
Well,
don't apologize for it.
You're now off the host queue, and then I was sitting here, and I was like, wait a minute, he must not see me, so let me try it again.
Yeah.
So thank you for saying
yeah,
that.
My, yeah, I'm actually restarting my board because it didn't say that you were up, and now it cleared up. I actually can see it now. It's weird that I can see it even though I didn't restart it, but after you came off of it and came back up. I saw it the second time you did it, but
okay,
my screen was a little frozen, and I didn't pay any attention. So when I looked, I didn't see you. And but I was looking when I said that, hit one, and you wasn't there. So how are you?
I'm good.
That's
okay,
good.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I skipped the presidential debate and I talked a little bit about the dinner today, the Al Smith dinner.
I heard.
That they had.
I heard. And you said now, Hillary was pretty funny and Donald Trump. I like that joke about that was pretty good.
You know,
Melania, nobody thought that her speech was great when Melania did it. I thought that was really good.
That was a good joke. That was a good joke. And you know what was good is Hillary's joke, when she first started, she said, it takes a village to write jokes for me. Like, because she doesn't have a good sense of humor. So technically, and her joke writers did a great job, but she actually admitted the fact that it wasn't like her wit. It wasn't her thing. But she did so much, you know, she did a great job on hers. Donald Trump got booed. And that's kind of the first time in history, from what I understand, of that speech, because it's just a bunch of rich people. Like, that's a room that Donald Trump couldn't probably even get into. So he started saying some things. You know how he gets mean-spirited. And he did try to be mean-spirited inside of his jokes, and they actually kind of start booing him. And I thought, whoa. It is really uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm going to put some of that stuff on the board for the next show. But it was interesting. Not the boo part, because that was just uncomfortable. He just wasn't funny. But you know what was really funny? Is Hillary Clinton tells this joke about, you know, when she comes up and she's honoring distinguished guests. Mayor de Blasio was there. Governor Cuomo was there. Mayor David Dinkins was there. And other folks like Giuliani, like the way she said that, it was like distinguished people, and Giuliani's here, and they flashed the camera on Giuliani, and he had the worst look on his face that you could imagine. The room started laughing because, you know, nobody likes Giuliani. I can't believe that he even gets any national attention.
That's so funny.
It was hilarious. So as much as people like go back and forth with, you know, he's America's mayor, we don't like him in New York State, let alone New York City. He was not that great a mayor. Just wanted to put that out there. Like, in case you didn't know. Like, that was just nuts. All right.
We really did not like
him. What'd you say?
I said we really did not like him.
Oh, no. He was not. It was not the pride of New York, is what people are like. He's America's mayor. He's a crazy that was in office. Just wanted to share that. All right. Now, I guess was there something that you wanted to say about that, or should we save the rest and talk about the debate a little bit later?
About what? About Giuliani?
The debate. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I
didn't want to
talk
about
it. We weren't talking about the debate. I thought you said that.
Okay. No. We can go through some news before we go to the debate. I was just thinking, because I figured it'll sidetrack me if I talk about the debate.
No
just
problem.
Me. Okay. All right. Fine. Because you can if you want to. I was just thinking when I brought up Donald Trump in politics.
No, I'm just waiting for the opportunity to talk about Michelle Obama's phenomenal dress, and I want to know where can I get one, and where can I get one, and where can I get one. That's pretty much, that's all that's consumed me all ever since I've seen that dress. Like, where do I get that? She looked so incredible. It was crazy.
Yeah, let me tell you this about her, is that every time I see, I am going to miss that child. And I'm just going to say that for the record, that family, we're going to miss that. We're never going to see that again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And it's so funny because I'm looking at the picture and the, what do we call her? The first lady from Italy? Do we call her first lady as well?
Yes. Yes.
She was just shrinking. In comparison to the sister, I was like,
you know what? I have to empathize with anybody. Like, Hillary is at a very bad disadvantage. It's why the president and the first lady and the vice president, Joe Biden is really good on a campaign trail. She is just not that good of a speaker. So you don't want to go up after them, right? So when you sit in the presence of those two, you know, I'm sure other countries, when they go in presence of them, they're like, "What you gonna do?" Like, they don't know. You know, I mean, it gotta be tough. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed watching it though, because I was looking at the first lady of Italy. I was watching her just kind of holding her dress and, you know, smiling and trying to anyway. And I was like,
Don't even
worry about it. We understand. Nobody's
holding that against you. Nobody is going to hold that against you.
Nobody's holding that against you, sweetheart. You just do you.
There you go.
Get it. There's nothing you can do about that. Just keep it moving.
Yeah, everybody's going to have that problem. There's nothing you can do.
What'd
you say? He was?
I said that, excuse me, the president is so happy. You see him, he's like, yeah, I know.
See, this is why I wanted to say that till the end. See, I can't go there with you because I have to keep, we got to maintain. We have to maintain. He's not out yet. But when he gets closer to being out, I think I'll crack some jokes in there, but I'm not today.
Oh,
I'm not going to do it.
It's a classic moment. Wee doggy.
Look at you.
I'm sorry.
All right. I know. This is Kathleen. I'm going to let her have that. Because if Kai was here, then we'd have to deal with Kai, too. So since Kai's not on, I'll let you have it. You need somebody to validate that with you. Lucky Loki's not here. I'd have to run a disclaimer to say, please put this segment on mute for the next 2 minutes, and then I'd have to go on. Before I go any further, I just want to say hey to my cousin Cedric. I know he's checking out the show in Houston, and, you know, hey, you guys can check us out, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is where we get a week's worth of news in just one setting. So it's our weekly news wrap-up show. In Michigan, you know, police found a teen who had been missing for nearly a year wandering the streets in New Mexico. I don't know where she was, how she ended up in the state of New Mexico, but her name is Ray Shauna Jones, she was 17, disappeared from home last December and had been missing ever since. And officers picked her up and said that she refused to talk to them about how she ended up in Mexico. The weirdest story.
Wow.
Isn't that strange?
Thank God she's okay.
Such
great news that we are, you know, that she's found okay.
She's found okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I get to go from good news to bad news, but, you know, the Subway, former Subway pitchman, I know Subway hates this as a corporate sponsor, the pedophile pitchman Jarrett Fogle is how it was characterized in most newspapers, but Jarrett Fogle is going to grill his sex assault victim and her parents in court, claiming that they blame him, that they are to blame for her depression and her suicidal thoughts. So instead of having his attorney do it, the guy who's the pedophile is going to interrogate the family.
They don't allow that.
And you know what? They should put it on national television, though, because they need to see how sick people are. You know what I mean? You should have no shame. I know you have a right to do that, to face your accusers and all that, but there's way too much confidence for you to say, hey, she was depressed before I started molesting her. Like that, my friend, is way too much. I think she committed suicide, and he's saying her suicidal thoughts was before. It wasn't a result of him doing that. It was, so he's going to get a chance to cross-examine her in court. All right. Shocking footage has emerged of two people slumped over, passed out in the car for allegedly overdosing on heroin. So Tyler Schwartzlander, who's 24, and Haley Kurdahl, who's 22, are seen sprawling out inside of their car in West Toledo, Ohio. A video was posted on Monday. They were used needles can be seen in the car, and witnesses say that the car was, I guess it was drifting diagonally through traffic before it jumped the curb and came to a complete stop in a parking lot of a fast food store. Now, the disturbing footage is the latest to show how the dangers of drugs and all of that other good stuff. But Ohio, opioid epidemic has more than 3,000 people who accidentally, and I don't know if it's accidentally, but who've overdosed over the last year, or about 8 each day. Do you know in this country, we're almost at about 81 a day?
Wow.
Hey, again, it's an epidemic because they're European, but they didn't care about any kind of that stuff when it was people of color. Just want to say that for the record. So, you
just
know,
amazing.
Now, what'd you say?
Just amazing.
Yeah, it
just
is.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Mm. Now, a retired Arkansas judge has been charged with fraud and bribery for allegedly giving lighter sentences to male defendants in exchange for nude photos and sex acts. Now, again, this is a judge. Joseph Beckman resigned in May after dozens of men claimed that he paid them to hit them with a paddle. And so he took photos like a duck. Well, he's a nut anyway, but he pled not guilty during a court appearance in Little Rock on Monday. Mr. Bulkman, who was 70, was later remanded into custody. He faces 21 counts of federal charges, including fraud, witness tampering, and bribery. He also has been alleged the former cross-county court judge also allegedly had more than 4,600 photos of nude or semi-nude men in his computer. This is an Arkansas judge. So as everybody acts like policemen and judges and all, everybody got to be an up and up. This guy is another sick person. And while I'm on sick news, I'm moving past these really, tried to get past them pretty fast. But since we act like this doesn't happen in country, and I see so many of them during the week, I'm going to have to do this one. So no comment on this one, Kathleen. I'll try to move fast as possible. All right.
No problem.
Illinois man is indicted for bestiality, pretty much. Now, Illinois man, 55, a resident of Peoria, last week, Anthony Danner is being charged with two felony counts of sex with animals, both of his animals, one a male and one a female. That's all I'm going to say about that story. But it happens so much in this country that major media doesn't do it, and there's some sick puppies in this piece that sometimes you just got to say they're sick. Just wanted to say that. Now, diver Patrick Peacock and Chris Rittermeier have drowned inside the Eagle's Nest Cave in Florida, which is described as the Mount Everest for underwater explorers. Now, Peacock and Rittermeier ventured down into extreme dangerous sinkhole on Saturday, ignored warning signs into the cave. The sign at the mouth of the cave says, "Stop, prevent your death, go no farther." And there's also a picture of the Grim Reaper on there. I didn't post the picture, but there's a picture on there. Rescue teams were called by a third man who was with them, and who waited outside the surface of the cave while his friends explored. And when they didn't return to the surface after 3 hours, after a planned meeting time, he called police. And so both of them were the ninth and tenth divers to die in that cave since 1981.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, okay, so I know I had this running joke about this because we have a lake close to us called Onondaga Lake. And sometimes that lake freezes over, but people act like they don't know that lakes in the middle freeze last, right? They freeze harder on the edges. and they had to really start saying, please do not snowmobile across the lake. And I actually thought that was hilarious, because how dumb do you have to be to think that you're going to, I mean, it's a huge lake. It's not like a pond or something. And every time you see, I used to complain because people would say, we need to do more to stop people from doing that. And I'm thinking, if you posted a sign and said, dangerous, you will die, and you still go in, I'm sorry, I can't really, I don't really have no words for you. Right? You did, you took the risk, you lost. And so, I don't mean to be insensitive, but I'm just saying, it's hard for me to
it's
do that story and really have.
Just saying.
Well, it could be. I'm saying it could be. I'm not laughing at the individuals who died. I am saying to the next fool who goes out and do that, you're dumb for going on some place that tells you not to go. It's like telling somebody, hey, electricity, don't stick your finger in that socket. Now, if somebody died doing that, that's an unfortunate accident, and they passed. But if you're going to do that while I'm telling this news story, and you do that, you're dumb. And if you don't die, I'm going to laugh at you. But if you die, don't matter if I laugh at you or not, does it? So that's all I wanted to say about being insensitive, Kathleen. I couldn't just reel that back. It just wasn't going to happen. I tried.
I know. I was trying to tell you that it wasn't getting any better, but you just kept going.
Oh, I can tell it wasn't getting any better. I said I couldn't even see a path out of that. It just was not going to get better. Now, all right. Now, a woman 22 years old is charged after picking up her father, picking him up off of the side of a highway after he broke out of prison, but she claimed that she thought he was released. So, she just kind of drove down the street. Yeah, he was like, meet me there on Tuesday about 10:30, and he pretty much thought she was gone. So, Tanya Carver has been arrested after serving as her father, Dennis Carver's getaway driver, when he broke out of prison. But she claims that she thought he had been released. Now, I'm with her on this. Now, I may not be sensitive to the other thing, but I am actually sensitive about this. Just because she picked him up, she didn't break him out. So why would she get arrested?
I don't know.
I know. I was going to say, I didn't want to...
80 and abetting.
Yeah, she wasn't aiding and abetting because she didn't know he was wanted. Come on now, I'm gonna need you to defend me on this one, Kathleen.
What did he
think
have?
Think about
on?
It that way. Touche. You got me. Okay, fine. Fine. I want to take a plea deal. That was just fine. Okay. He had something with some numbers on it, but I wasn't looking. He could have went to jail with an orange shirt. I don't know. Like, see,
yeah. What about the number that was on the back?
I'm going to plead the fifth. I'm going to say, I don't know what they give you when you get out of jail. Do they say just take that and go? Like, I don't know. I've never been to jail, okay? It is not my fault. He was on the side of the road. He wasn't hitchhiking. He was waiting by a bus stop.
There was a sign there. He couldn't quite get on the bus, bro, you know, with all these cameras
Look,
and everything. I mean, they may not know much in prison, but I think they know that everybody's getting caught on
the only
camera.
Thing I would agree with you with is if he still was in handcuffs or he had some shackles on him. Like, that's the only way I will actually, I won't defend her. But I'm going to defend her to say that just because she pulled over and he may have had on a jumpsuit, allegedly, or not. unless she was in court and bought him a suit, or unless he said, when you pick me up, bring me a change of clothes, then I would be a little bit more suspicious. But she did not know he broke out because she didn't break him out.
Yeah, no, I'm so sure she didn't know. I'm sure she wasn't. I'm sure she didn't know.
Well, I guess it would depend on what time she picked him up, too. Like, it wasn't doing visitor hours. They let me go about 2:30 a.m. So,
yeah.
All right, fine.
Get on the side of the road.
All right,
like,
fine.
Oh,
I'm not
messing. Where do you want to go? Someplace dark.
Okay, I'm not messing with you no more. Okay, so here we go. A 92-year-old a 92-year-old Nigerian man with 97 wives said that Allah helps him keep control of all of them, but he warns other men he does not recommend more than having more than two wives. But he has 97, so it's only through God's help that he actually has a relationship, I guess, with all 97 of them.
And he's just trying to cut down the competition.
Well, there's only two left.
Yeah,
like, I'm just saying, I don't know where his...
The rest are for me.
Yeah.
More for me.
I don't know where he lives, but, you know, he's like just... He said it's a headache if it's more than two. But...
Uh-huh.
But he's at 97, so, and he said he still would consider having four more. So I think he just wants that. I just think he wants to clear that 100 hurdle, and he'll be all right. That's what he says. Okay. All right. Now, a Swedish brewery, St. Eric's, is launching the world's most expensive potato chips. Now, this is because they felt that they didn't feel that anyone on the market made good enough chips to go with their beer. So you would have to pay $55 for a pack of five of luxurious chips. I don't know what kind of potato chips there are, but the world's most expensive potato chips is launched by that brewery as the perfect companion to their drink. Now, if them chips don't get you drunk, like, you don't need the beer. I wonder how much the beer costs. If the chips for a pack of five cost $55, what would you think the beer costs?
If they get you drunk, they should also drive you home.
What, the chips or the beer?
Both. What do you care who's driving it? You pay that much money from chips and beer. Somebody need to be driving but you.
$55. There should be a chip Uber. Like somebody should come there, deliver you chips, and drive you home. That is way too much for it. Anyway, that's just me. Now, you know, I didn't do this week in court, but you know, here's the thing. I missed it a couple of times, so I'm going to do some of the old ones about some stories that's in court. And the first one is Dallas Cowboy wide receiver Dez Bryant and a state senator have settled their ugly dispute over state senator Royce West's claim that Bryant trashed his rental home, and Bryant countersued him, accusing him and his law firm of stealing $500,000 from him. That's in court, by the way. They settled their dispute. Now, get this. If you stole $500,000 from me, you better not let me in your house. I'm not going to be mad at this, right? But I'm just saying, they're in court, though. They settled. So I'm not
okay.
I can't point the finger at him and say that I'm mad at him. He trespassed his house after a party. And it was his rental home. It wasn't his real house, but I would have trashed the real house and the rental for my $500,000. Just wanted to put that out there for the record. All right. Eight white and one Hispanic police officer involved in a Cleveland car chase that left an unarmed black couple dead after 137 shots did not show discrimination in their restricted duty placement is what the Sixth Circuit Court has ruled. So all nine of them shoot 137 shots into an unarmed black couple's car, and they said, oh, that didn't show discrimination. So they were placed on restricted duty. But they still get their money. But they're still in court, but the court has ruled that nothing showed discrimination. See, here's what happened. The police officers tried to sue because they thought that they were unfairly treated because they shot somebody 137 times and they were on restricted duty. And they sued the police department so that they wouldn't be on restricted duty after they shot an unarmed couple. Yes. That's where the bottom line of that story is. That's where the sickness works. Okay, just thought I'd share that part of it. Now, you know, in court, I missed the story, but with all the other stuff, you know, a 10th accuser has come out for Donald Trump, by the way. Another one did come out today. And in court, yes, you didn't see that?
No,
Yeah. Well, I don't have too much details on her, but there, it's just another case of him being a little handsy. And I'm surprised at the Al Smith dinner that they didn't. I would have. One of the people who actually opened up the dinner and cracking a joke said, "You know, we're delayed because Donald Trump mistakenly went into the women's dressing room." That was actually hilarious, but they really did not do too many Donald Trump and women. Oh, wait, the Hillary Clinton joke at the Al Smith dinner was this. You know, New York State, he said something like, we're, you know, very proud of the Statue of Liberty and what it means to all of us. But when Donald Trump sees the Statue of Liberty, he sees a 4, right? 4 or 5, depending on if she takes off the crown and it in the torch.
Oh my God, the
writers on that one was actually pretty funny, but his misogynistic stuff. I forgot she did hit him on that one, Statue of Liberty. All right, now in court this week, Donald Trump has his rape accuser has refiled her lawsuit in New York. Now, the lawsuit was filed by an anonymous plaintiff accusing Donald Trump of raping a teenager in the 90s and threatening to kill her family. It has been refiled with additional witnesses on board, is what the woman's attorney revealed last week. So that's back in court. Now, again, with all of his stuff, can you imagine him president and then that going to court? He's already in court for Trump University. He's in court for this, and he's in court for his foundation stuff. Can you imagine? He's going to wait to get convicted and then try to part. What'd you say?
I know. It sounds like a rap song. In court for this. In court for that. In court for this.
He's in court for this or that. But he can still. He can still, like, well, I guess he's waiting to get convicted so he can pardon himself. That's why he's running for president. He needs somebody to pardon him. By the way, one of the actual funny jokes that Donald Trump told, which reminds me of another one, was he said that Hillary accidentally bumped into him while he was there, and she said, "Pardon me." And he said, "Well, let's wait and see if I'm president first." My delivery was actually better than Donald Trump's, but it was actually really funny. It was a little slow to hit the room what he was saying, but his delivery, he doesn't have good timing. Pardon me. All righty. So the Los Angeles Rams must grant season tickets to some of the fans who brought personal seat licenses. I don't know what that means. While the team was in St. Louis, is what a federal judge has ruled. So the Rams, I don't know how you do that. If I bought season tickets when you were in St. Louis, you have to honor them even though you're in Los Angeles. Oh, I guess this is where eBay kicks in. I'll be selling them jammies online like nobody's business. Inflating the price.
You,
but, hey.
Uh-oh. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, because I guess you can buy, like, if I bought season tickets for 3 years, and you know, you can buy those box seats for a number of years, and you move that team to another city, they have to honor that or give them their money back, but they probably have to honor it. So, yeah, so the federal judge did rule that they have to honor it because they had personal seat licenses, which probably meant that they had box seats, not individual seats. They had, you know, bulk seats, so they probably had a box. Now, the city of Oakland has agreed to pay $1.2 million to the family of a man who was shot to death by police who found him unconscious in his car. So the guy was unconscious, and then police shot him. But he only got 1.2. Yeah, the family has agreed, or the city of Oakland has agreed to pay them $1.2 million. Something needs to be said about. Never mind. I'm not even going to. The police shooting stuff is so old that it is really no place for. It's place for the conversation, but it's just sickening. That's all I can really say about that. It's so old that it's actually sickening. So, just wanted to share that. Yes. Now I know we only have. I know it is just that bad. Now since we have 5 minutes left in the show, I just want to say this. We are going to go. We can now talk about the debate because I know that I wouldn't have made it through the rest of those if we would have talked about the debate early. So there's 5 minutes for the live audience, but if you want to listen in, if we happen to go a little bit over, you can call in area code 909-265-9189 if you want to listen to the conversation. But I am going to let you go and give me your assessment of the debate because, well, first I want to say this. I don't like this baseball analogy of who won a debate because technically you're not supposed to be doing debates for clear winners. You're supposed to be comparing and contrasting the people who are running for office and not necessarily saying, ooh, you got a good shot in. It's not like a reality show. So although in the live, you know, accounting of who won the debate, they're saying Hillary won all three of them. So Donald Trump, who always says that Donald Trump and Fox News always says that Donald Trump won. But what did you think of the debate? And you said you got a chance to hear it or see a little bit of it.
Yes, I did. I heard 96% of it, and then I watched, I watched at least half of it or so. So that was, I was in my car when it started.
Okay.
And what did I think? I didn't really think of. Okay, let me say this. She did much better than she did in some of the others. I liked the in previous debates when I've listened to her, I always feel like, did she forget what she was about to say? Or did she not really have this answer down because her pauses were so deliberately long? Not like she was flowing, but as she was thinking, you know, almost like she was in the spelling bee, and then, you know,
right.
And then a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
The definition.
This was like work that out.
Yeah, they really did work that out. She just continued to really flow, and so I was very happy about that. Initially, I thought he started out differently than he did, but we all know that it's just a matter of moments before he goes downhill. Now, I didn't have any of the, like, all the highlights that they played from the debate. None of those were my high point moments, really. I thought
they never are. It's weird.
Yeah, no, they weren't my high point moments. The one that I thought was, and I guess I feel a little bit bad that this was a high moment for me, but when she called him a puppet for Putin, I just was like, drop the mic here. So that was one. And then the other was when it was interesting to me, though, because the audience clapped for him. And I was like, who are these people in Vegas? But he said something about, you know, Bernie Sanders said you were the most disgusting person ever or whatever. Or two people made these comments about her that were so poor. And then she came back and said, you know, well, Bernie Sanders is supporting me for president. And he said such and such and such and such about you, and I think he's right. I think what she said about him and his temperament and the fact that he shouldn't be anywhere near the nuclear weapons or the being able to call the code, I thought that was
right.
Wrong.
But I think a lot of people, a lot of the pundits anyway, said basically, you know, this election for me just does not seem to address a lot of the same core, basic, and fundamental issues in any way, shape, or form like it did when President Obama was running. I felt like I learned so much from him when I was watching those debates, whether I was agreeing or not with everything that he said. I learned so much, and I don't recall anybody fact-checking him ever and saying that what he said was a lie or wasn't true. So these two, I'm listening to them with, you know, crooked eyes, like, you know, my eyes all twisted. Like, is that actually true? I feel like there's so much both of them aren't saying, and that I'm just not learning anything about what really can be done here in the United States or abroad during war, issues of war, issues of nukes, climate control. I know they talked about the Supreme Court. You know, I shudder to think that this man could be putting 20, you know, if he were to put more than one person on the Supreme Court and he says he's vetted 20 people, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us.
Right. Yeah, now, you're right. You know, when the president was debating, it did make you smarter because he gave you facts. He said, hey, here's what's going on, you know, 9 out of 10 and blah, blah, blah. Here's how many Americans are doing it. He gave you facts. Those guys,
really,
first of all,
is.
Donald Trump's not that smart. And secondly, Hillary was, I guess their strategy is, well, let me put it this way. We knew this was going to happen. We just aren't going to have anybody that doggone smart as president. You know what I mean? Like, he's a constitutional scholar, taught that for 12 years, and he has a sense of humor, and he has really good timing, and we can't expect that out of them. I think, I'm not going to say it's unfair. I'm just going to say they're just not that great.
Right.
But you're right. It's not what a debate is supposed to be.
I really did. I felt like, you know, I was so interested, not only interested, but just really genuinely learning. I learned so much about foreign affairs, you know, about the issues of war. Because, you know, after all, he was speaking about pulling people out. And even after the debate, what I didn't pick up from him, which was very difficult not to pick up things from him, because he really did speak to you like you were no smarter than a fifth grader, but, you know, but he didn't make you feel like you were dumb. But he was just doing a really great job of explaining things so that the average American could understand what he was saying. But here, you know, it is so petty going back and forth with Donald Trump and the words that he's calling her, the names that he's calling her and so forth. It just is really petty and really unfortunate. I do just want to say this real quick. Culturally, I believe there is a huge disconnect between people of black folks and, if I can't say anything else, than just the media. Because I did hear that people were responding to the nasty woman remark. I did hear them say, you know, a few things about that.
Right.
But I just want to say that where I come from, you don't call a woman of a certain age a nasty woman. You do not. That's, okay, let me take my jacket off time. That's earrings off. Vaseline. You know, I didn't see Bill there last night, but that's just something that you do. That's like a, you know, talking about my mother. You just don't go there. And while they mentioned it a couple times, it didn't have the same charge for people in the media as it would if somebody in our community called somebody a nasty woman. I just like, what the hell? What, I'm like, where do you go? And then nobody has more respect than women than me. Nope. I really shudder to think, where would we be if you were the one that had the most respect for women in the world. Just really, really a bad commentary. The way he spoke to her just was very hurtful to me. And also the way he speaks about President Obama is just, I just feel like somebody should lead him off stage in handcuffs. Just tyranny.
Again, I think just in the whole mean-spiritedness of how the Republicans are amongst themselves, he is a prick. And I got that word from Chelsea Handler. Didn't really know what it was, but I actually can see what it is now. You know how you get the people who don't respect their parents, don't respect their position, think they have privilege and all of that other stuff. He is wrapped up all in one, the personification of privilege, and has no sense of self. He don't respect women. He don't respect nothing else. And everything is about him. Like, I think the big thing now is everyone keeps saying stuff like, I think he said, I'll respect the vote if I win. Now, what kind of nonsense is that?
Yeah.
Right, it's not rigged if I win, but it's rigged if I don't.
Yeah. That's right.
No. Yeah, so you're not even good to play anything with. Not jacks, not hopscotch. You can't, because you can't. Just not, just crazy.
Yes, that's
right. That. I know.
Really.
Yeah.
So I'll
yeah.
be happy
so,
when it's over between the two of them. I'll be very happy when it's over.
Yeah. See, but again, and Hillary Clinton said that. You know, I know most of you will be happy when it's over, kind of thing, and everybody clapped. It is sick that they had to go this far. So Republicans need to be ashamed of themselves. The country needs to be ashamed of itself. And everybody on mainstream media or, you know, side media need to be ashamed of themselves for even legitimately dealing with Donald Trump, because he's not a serious candidate. Just wanted to say that for the record.
And amen. I guess the only other thing I wanted to talk about, maybe we could talk about it next week, is the woman, the mentally ill woman who was shot in the Bronx.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to talk about it, or you want to save it for next time?
Yeah, we can save it for next time, because I hear the music playing. So, yeah, we can save it for next time, but may she rest in peace, and I pray that, you know, we will not be having these stories. I just pray for the day that these stories are really,
Yeah, there's work to be done.
There's work to be done.
I know that. All right. Well, on that note, I guess we will take five. See you again next week. And thanks for tuning in and listening to the news. Thanks, Kathleen, for hanging. Had to make some noise.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Well, see you again next week.
All right.
All right. You too.